You know, there's a special mojo that's felt during those moments when human beings genuinely share who they are. When you see a songwriter who deeply believes and has lived the words that they're singing, it's the kind of magic that hushes a noisy room or sends shivers down your spine. I'm here to explore just that. What is it exactly that makes that kind of magic moment happen? Greetings, folks. My name is Michael Averill, and this is the Write Songs You Love podcast.
Why, hello, my friends. We are back. It is Thursday and ready to rock a new episode. So just wanted to take a moment to say thank you to everybody who sent in very thoughtful responses about the process question and episode last week. And if you didn't hear it, I suggest definitely going back to listen to it. But to give you the Cole's notes of it, it was really just all about looking at different ways that the process of songwriting can work. And there's just so many ways. This was all prompted by a question from a participant in my current round of the One Song Challenge. And I love it. I love opening this up to the community because we got some really great answers. And if you're a songwriter who's been writing for a long time, you tend to find what your process is, but that can change so much. And sometimes it gets stale or it doesn't feel inspiring the same way maybe when you first started developing it. And it's nice to hear other options or other methods to figure out potentially trying something new and stirring up the inspiration pot again. So this episode is going to be follow-up on that, and I'm just going to share some of these responses that people put in through the Facebook group, which was incredible. So I got a couple pages up here, and I'm just going to read some of these out. And hopefully, for anyone looking maybe for a shakeup in the process of your writing methods, or if you just, sometimes it's just nice to hear, oh yeah, I do that too. It's neat to validate that. And like, okay, cool. I feel better about what I'm doing. Or if you're kind of a newer songwriter, or songwriting isn't the thing that you've kind of, the muscle you've flexed or exercised the most, maybe this will help guide you a little bit more into making some different kind of progress. All right. So I love these episodes when you've all given me answers and I can read them out and reiterate back all of your awesomeness, because there's so many great thoughts here. So I'll start with Lisa. Lisa said she tends to write lyrics from start to finish. She generally has a theme or story she wants to tell and might have a hook idea, like a chorus. So she writes the backstory, then leads up to the hook. She generally hears a top line as well. And if that's new information for you, a top line is a combination of a melody and a lyric. So she hears a top line as she writes. So once the lyrics are down, she comes up with some chords. And I know Lisa generally does this on the piano to work with that. So there you go. She also said, if someone else sends her a track, the music usually informs what type of song she hears and writes the lyrics that match the energy and vibe. So there you go. Adrian says, similarly, often starts with a theme or one line of an idea, then writes melody and lyrics together, start to finish. Just goes through, doesn't worry about editing, does that afterwards. So Adrian shares too with, like, when writing with somebody else, a co-writer, she'll usually bring a verse or a few lines and a brain dump of a bunch of related ideas before we commit and refine. The melody might come later, depending on the person. So there you go. Lily saying that playing guitar has changed her process and actually made it a lot quicker. Before she played an instrument, she would write a lot of songs in one go, but had no music. So it was either using loops or digital sources, or trying to collaborate. So after years of dissatisfaction not finding my musical soulmate who played in the style that she envisioned, she bought her first guitar, and now they're inseparable, and her process is way more streamlined. So yeah, having some kind of an instrument to tinker with can be amazing. It's not necessary. I've met lots of vocalists or people who just write that don't need it, and that's totally cool too. But it definitely influences things, whether it's guitar, a ukulele, a piano. Those three are typically kind of more of the core instruments, because you can chord and do other things. Whereas other instruments that are more kind of like melody instruments, like violins or harmonicas, I guess harmonica and singing is a bit tricky. It not saying it can't be done. Just, I'd say go for it if you want to, but they're different. They don't hold as much support in the same way that a guitar or piano would. All right, carrying on. We're over to Sonia. Sonia says she often plays with chords and notes on the guitar to see where the tones lead her. That can inform the rhythm, although that often changes as the song progresses. Usually it's music first, lyrics second. Although sometimes lyrics will come for me and then I'll tailor them to the music. Having a goal such as a song challenge or a time deadline is motivating to finish. Edits are the same way. Having a deadline or a reason to finish makes me push through and let go. and let go of my perfection tendencies or fear of losing the heart of the song. Sometimes I get a song in my head. It just comes to me, and that challenge is to capture it before it goes on its merry way. She records a lot of riffs, chord structures, and then goes back later for referencing. Yeah. So there you go. There's a bunch more options here. Mike over in the UK says this is an easy and difficult question to answer because there's so many different processes, which, yeah, is so true. Like, again, if you've been doing it for a while, you really explore a lot of different methods. So Mike says when he started out, he usually wrote on an acoustic guitar with pen and paper and figured if it was good enough for Lennon and McCartney, it's good enough for him. This also is useful for electronic music to make sure that the song is playable on the guitar, because it's easy to make an electronic track unplayable. Writes the chorus first. The times that he's written from the verse and even the bridge, it always seems to be a more difficult write. It's like writing a novel, start with the last page first and then work back from there. So I'm glad Mike said that, because again, it's so cool to see how different people enter a song, because starting can be a tricky thing. And I think where a lot of people might get held up is just getting the engines going. So that's something kind of cool to try different options. And like Mike's saying, he knows when he starts with the chorus, generally has a better flow going forward. So it's cool to find these things out about yourself. All right, he's also saying a title is a great place to start. You can brainstorm and storyboard from there. Storyboards help you keep track of what you want to say in each section, which I think is super cool. Tries not to do much editing as I'm writing. Ah, yeah, this is my favorite line that Mike submitted. It says, crank it, then craft it. I love that. Cool. All right, so moving on, we've got Richard. Richard is saying, Richard has, this is actually super cool to hear, has an old rule. Never record a song for release or anything until you've played it live for 1 year. That's epic. And I think that's really interesting. I usually give out this kind of advice as well, where if you're working on a song, if you can, sometimes for those writing for specific projects, sometimes you have to do like a very quick timeline turnover. Like I've had some situations where writing a song for somebody's wedding or anniversary had to happen in less than a week and be ready to go. So sometimes you don't have a huge amount of time, but if it's, you're really crafting and take your time, like Richard here, Richard literally goes and plays it around live for a year, which drastically, I'm sure, helps
that song settle and get so ingrained that you, it becomes natural, automatic, and you're not kind of working through the clunky bits. It's amazing, actually, how long a song can take to really settle in our bodies and in a performance way too. So I think that's a interesting point of view there and process. So he's saying, also keep in mind, he grew up with the Allman Brothers and they played his senior dance when he was in 10th grade. So he's always enjoyed watching songs evolve. There's not one song I've written over about 50 years that I'm not still writing. So I love that comment too, that whole idea that it can keep growing and always will keep growing if you keep playing them. And he said he really enjoyed the 13 songs of the Teacup Challenge. That would have been last January. He still has a bunch of good stuff from that hasn't really revisited due to other stuff sitting in queue. Cool. All right, Kate. Kate from Australia. Where are we at here? So Kate's telling a really unique story here. So listen to this, and I'll read it as she wrote it. One unforgettable summer, I joined a couple of hundred musicians camped under trees in a verdant creekside setting where we would escape Christmas humbug and create New Year amongst our kind. I was hanging out for the first time with the man who would become my son's father, and though I didn't know that part yet, the occasion felt full or portent. One lazy afternoon after the sun had already dipped from view, I sat a little apart and found myself drowsily noodling a basic 2-chord picking pattern. The little 4-4 instrumental motif was so haunting, it riveted itself into my brain. Over all the years that followed, I'd occasionally take it out and refresh it a little bit, but its form never really wavered, nor did it develop much, if at all. I thought of it as Nariel Twilight, and I knew I would finish writing it someday, but nobody ever heard it other than me. It was like a little warm secret that never lost its specialness. Roll forward 30 years, and I'm writing a suite of songs for an EP. I knew the next one was about empty nesting, but had no idea where it would go, until I took out the motif, wondering if it would find its place in the most fitting of all topics. I played it round and round, breathed in its emotion, and noticed now for the first time it was asking to transform into a 3-4 waltz time. I agreed. Then it told me the words. It took a little, but only a very little tweaking after that first draft, pretty well landing all of a piece in a single sitting. Nothing Stopping Her Now became one of the most personally satisfying songs I've ever written and became some people's declared favorite despite being surrounded by other strong material on that recording. So, 30 years, twixt riff and lyric? I'm good with that. Though, plan to speed things up from now on, or it could become a very short catalog indeed. Going back to that space-time has given me a peaceful, drifty feeling. Love it, and thank you. Wow, that's so cool. So yeah, another 30 years of something starting and just staying with you and sometimes needing a little shift or it speaking to you and wanting to be altered. What a cool process. And thanks for sharing such a beautiful story. All right, Diane. Diane plays with chords until she finds a progression that feels good and that she doesn't want to stop playing it over and over. So then sounds form, a melody, then words. Then pencil and paper catch it all. I think that's kind of cool too, where the difference between pen and paper and writing on computer or your phone or whatever. Like pen and paper does have a particular magic to it that I think just sits differently, I notice for myself. But I like using both here too. But going back to Diane here, basically what I hear in my head gets found in some kind of chord formation, whether I know what the chord is or not. Everything is for that song. Hours and hours pass. The rest of the week has the song in my brain infiltrating work and anything else I do. Even rewrites can happen that way in my head. And it's a very physical experience, but a kind of joy that is indescribable and makes me feel like I'm supposed to be here. I think this is way more than you're asking for. Nope, this is great. This is the perfect amount. I love hearing this stuff, so thanks for sharing it all.
Claudia says when she was a teenager, she wrote lovesick songs all the time. Would noodle on the guitar and find some chords that she liked, and then lyrics with a melody, and would squish them together. Now, it's usually just lyrics and hone them until I think they're satisfying. I have a voice recorder on my cell phone, and at some ludicrous hour of the morning, 1 a.m. or 2, a snippet of melody happens, so I hum it into my phone for safekeeping. Some of the snippets get strung together, others lurk and need more time. There you go. Thank you, Claudia. Vicky, saying, no set process, I just go with whatever and however I'm feeling inspired at the moment, whether I'm writing by myself or collaborating. Okay, nice. Teresa says this is great timing because she's actually facilitating a songwriting retreat in a couple of weeks. And she says tends to write with the main theme or idea. Melody comes from the words, but also loves writing to a rhythm, getting it out in raw, sometimes ugly form, and then tweaking it to fit seems to work well. But often finds that whatever comes first usually works best. Loves poetic sounding sentences, which means she's struggled over the years with sticking to the focus of the song. So I really work on keeping it simple and staying within the story. Fleshing out a few related ideas regarding an overall statement per song is the goal. Also loves writing with different and new instruments to increase inspiration and to get ideas from different sounds. Guitar is her main instrument, but also have done lots with ukulele, bass, keyboard, percussion, banjo, harmonica, clarinet, even though I'm not an expert on the last few. There you go. Lots of different options. Kia is saying, usually I'm out walking in nature and I hear a tune or a phrase that I like enough to remember. I let it into my voice and under my hands, and if I'm lucky, I make the time and space to have a full relationship with its completion. What a poetic way to say that. All right. We got a couple more here. We got Steve. Steve's saying it just kind of comes all at once. The melody and hook and the lyrics and everything comes afterwards. Sometimes it wakes up in the middle of the night with an idea and has to put it in his notes. After the melody is written, there's a technique that he learned from a class with Ryan Tedder that you take the melody you think is really strong and then try to make it even better three more ways, like three different ways. Also, if you listen to any pop song, the verse is just as catchy as the chorus. Same rule of thumb there. That's my process and love to hear others. Well, you're hearing them right now. So thanks, Steve, for putting this in. And he actually had a follow-up idea. Another tip that he got from a professional musician was to open up a Dr. Seuss book. There's all these rhythmic things, and a lot of times it can go very well in almost any song. It also gives you really different types of rhythms and gets you out of being stuck in a funk. Yeah. Amber says, oh man, that's a conversation to be had, but too much to write for me. But she did say that she's had a few songs come through dreams that she's had. Roya says movement. Usually walking while I'm thinking about something helps me come up with fragments of songs. They also happen when she's jamming. Back when she started, she would usually play around with the chords on the piano until she had something that sounded good. Then would add melodies, etc. You know, joy or intense feelings about something really help. All right. And then Michael said he had two major label mentors in the 80s that taught him not to use a person's name in a love song, but to make it universal. They also broke me of geolocating songs, as some may not appreciate certain locations as much as you do. They didn't think much of a guitar solo in one of my songs that went from the upper register down as it ended, no matter how different or cool I thought it was. They said it was a diminishing the crescendo that it would have been building. I listened, and they were my managers at the time. I usually write one piece at a time. One song has taken 40 years plus and is fairly firm now. It's ready for instrumentation, and it's been done live with a four-piece band. So there you go. There's a whole bunch of different processes. You can see some situations there where there's common things that some people do, especially in terms of how they approach the starting of it, like whether it's the story you start with or you just need to fool with the music to make it happen. There's a lot of pathways, but I love these other ideas that came up too with like movement, going to walk. I know some people dance, some people surf, some people do. There's various things that kind of start that. I always remember listening to stories about Jack Johnson, and that a lot of his stuff came when he was out surfing, which I think is so cool. So yeah, I hope all of this has gone to show that you don't need one method. There's not ever really one method. There's so many. And as you can hear, every songwriter, if you just pluck at it long enough, you end up using a lot of different things. So don't worry about that if you're just kind of getting your feet wet with songwriting, or if you have maybe been doing it one way for a long time and it's not working anymore, don't panic. It doesn't mean you're broken or that you can't write songs anymore. It just means maybe you just need to change things up. And whatever got you to this place in your songwriting might not get you to the next place in your songwriting. And that's something to be welcomed, actually. There's a really cool aspect of having your own expectations and your own beliefs around all this stuff just completely shift. Because, I don't know, there's a magic to being surprised and being in that mode of discovery and wonder and curiosity. All of those things are super, super important. And I think it keeps us active and moving and living as songwriters. And I got to share, this is one last thing and then we'll call it a day, is I've spent the last couple of weeks here revisiting all of my dad's music that he wrote mostly back in the 70s. And there's going to be a lot more I can share about this in the future. But I've been recording a bunch of these songs, just his songs, that I'm going to release next Wednesday. And it's been such a treat to do this. And I have been playing some of his songs for over a decade now. But there's a whole bunch more in his catalog that I've never shared before. And I've actually never even tried to play until this last couple of weeks. And I can tell you what's so cool about learning some of his songs and really listening to them closer. I have some old recordings of him actually playing them. I'm hearing things now, different techniques that he used in the guitar that I never heard before, and just paying that much more close attention trying to replicate that has taught me some new things about moving in chords and songwriting and process, just really examining another songwriter's songs. So that has been special to learn and to take that in, and just to take note that, like, hey, that's pretty cool. Like, these songs are still teaching me, and it's helped me grow as a writer and just given me some new tools for my toolbox to apply. So as a fun way to end today, I think I'll leave you with one of these recordings that's in the process. It's still on its way to being mastered, but I thought, hey, I'll give you guys a sneak peek because you're awesome and you come up into this space sharing your insights and your stories, and I really appreciate that. So I'm going to share a song. It was actually the first song my dad ever wrote, and it's called Take the Time. It has an amazing message. Well, I should say it has an amazing set of messages that this has been pretty much a blueprint of my life. And it's going to be a huge feature of this book that I've been working on over the last couple of years now, I guess. So I'll leave you with Take the Time, and I'm going to release this full album next week. So I'll have some more stories about that. And it's got all sorts of layers. If you remember that episode back called Layers, it's full of them. So I'll leave you with that. Here's Take the Time. Thanks again, everybody, for sharing your processes, and hope this helps. All right. Catch you next time, and enjoy your writing.
Take the time to watch the sunrise in the morning, and take the time and listen to the thrush's song. Smell the scented breeze that blows across the forest. Feel the soft barbs of a newly planted lawn. Being born. Take the time to stop to wonder and to listen. Take the time to try and find where you belong. And don't be alarmed if others rush and leave you. Just smile and wave your hand as they move on. They're soon gone. Take the time to find out where you wanna wander. Take the time to see where all your dreams have flown. And remind the ones who worry on your future. It may not be perfect or well known, but it's your own. Take the time to tell a friend how much they matter. Take the time to help a child who wants to know. And when up on the street you meet a stranger, don't be ashamed to let your feelings show. Smile hello. Just believe the water sparkling from the mountains and use its sigh to make a gentle rhyme. And let it sing and whisper to you only. Feel the sunshine as your mind unwinds. Take the time. Feel the sunshine as your mind unwinds. Take the time.